All right, welcome back to Beat the Spread with Bills and the Horse. We got some good stuff for you today. It's kind of the best program we have because we go through all our NFL picks, and that's what most people are interested in. I actually have a hilarious story. Haven't even told the horse this. The last episode, I don't know how many of you listened to it, but I guess there were a couple innuendos we made unintentionally. I only got one tweet at me about the episode from someone that listened, and it was this guy who was like, "Hey, is this a podcast like for gay guys who like sports?"
Who was it?
And I was like, it was a random guy. I didn't know the Twitter handle. I didn't follow him. He follows me now. But he was like, "Is this a thing for like gay guys who like also like sports but like talking about the dudes?" And I was like, "No, man, it's like a gambling podcast for guys." It's like, no, like, you know, I wasn't like, not in a rude way or anything, but it was like, I was like, what made you think that? And he was like, "Well, I don't know, man." He was like, he goes, "Just the Mary fuck kill thing was kind of weird." And that was it. That's all he said.
I thought it was pretty funny. I don't know. It's kind of out of left field.
No, I did too. I was like, yeah, no, we were just trying to be like funny, I guess. And he was like, "Yeah, but then you also like said like, you felt like Matt Harvey broke up with you." And I was like, "Yeah, I mean, you know, not in like a gay way, though."
Not that we have like, a problem.
No, not that that's bad or anything, but like of the like 12 or 14 people that listened to the last episode, one person like hits me up. Only one person from listening to the podcast has ever like reached out to me. And that's what it was for.
And it's just this random
just
dude.
Just a random dude. He was like, "Hey, are you guys gay?" Basically. And I was like, "No, we're not. No problem if you are, though, but we're not." So I thought that was pretty funny. So for any future reference, if we do any like stuff like that, it's just all in a joking manner. So moving on to the NFL stuff. First thing we're going to talk about before we get into the Thursday night game is going to be there's a game in London this weekend. And since I'm a Jets fan, I have a lot of implications in this game because it's a division game, which we talked about on the show last time. What are your thoughts on games being played in London, Horse?
I mean, I think that the games played in London are similar to like soccer matches played in the US. Like when Barcelona comes over and they bring over like half their scrubs and handle it like a preseason game. I just don't really know if it should be this big of a game. I'm not sure the flight time and the travel is good for the players. The games are usually pretty shittily played. The camera angles are also like, I don't know what they're doing over there, but it seems like there's never any HD television on those games. Honestly, I just don't think it's fair to make a big division game like have one being played in London. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I hate it, to be honest. I mean, it's not good from a fan's point of view because if you're on the West Coast, you got to get up at 6:30 in the morning to watch the thing. And that's obviously like not as important to me as the overall effect it has on the team. I hate that the Jets have to do this because not only does it screw you up, like you have to get over there. You play a game Sunday. You have to get over there maybe Wednesday. You have to get acclimated to this new time zone. It's what is it, 5 or 6 hours? What's the time difference to London?
Yeah, I think it's about 6 from the east, or 6 maybe from the West Coast, maybe more. I don't know.
No, I think it's 6 from the East Coast. Maybe 5. Look that up real quick while I keep talking. But either way, 5 or 6 hour difference that these guys have to get acclimated to, and then they play a game Sunday, and they're right back. And for me, I'm worried it's just going to throw us off for next week, too, because we have to fly back from London, get back on our normal routine and back on our normal schedule. I mean, I would hope that they would give us a bye following this. I mean, I think that would be only fair. I haven't looked at the schedule that in depth, but no, they do give us the bye, which makes sense. And I would hope they would give the Dolphins the bye too. But even with that, I think it's just overblown. I don't know how much people in London care about, care about football, because I handicap for a website in London, and quite frankly, it's like the amount of money you make handicapping for a London-based site versus one in the U.S. It's like it's not even on the same planet, you know, because the U.S. you know, people in the U.S. are crazy about football. In London, I think it's kind of like we are with soccer, where it's like, oh, this thing's cool, and like if it's here, I'll watch it. But yeah, at the end of the day, they don't really care. So why do we have to put these guys through this ordeal of going to London and playing a really big game against the Dolphins when it's not really that necessary? I mean, I guess the NFL's making a ton of money on it.
It's a huge game. And honestly, like when any of the English Premier League teams come over and play in the U.S., I mean, usually they put in their biggest scrubs and they're just like kicking it around, like whatever. I mean, Ballard tried doing a back heel in one game and got pulled because he was like fucking around basically the entire game. And honestly, it's just kind of bullshit that this big of a game is forced to do.
Those games don't matter for those guys.
Yeah.
Because that's just an exhibition game.
Yeah, I know. They couldn't give less of a shit. And honestly, this game is in a different league. It's in division also. It's one of the first in division.
Yeah, exactly. And I've heard murmurs that they're talking about putting a team in London. I think that would be a disaster too, because then you have a team having to do this every week and go over there. And then you have their team coming over to us every week, and they wouldn't be able to go to the West Coast because it would be too much of a time difference. It's just, I mean, I think the NFL is kind of has the perfect business model, and it's kind of too big to fail, as we've seen with all these disasters that have gone on with the players recently. So why are they trying to rock the boat? I guess they're making a ton of money, but I don't like it for the players. I don't like it for my team. I don't really like any part about it.
And they've also, I mean, the Bills are playing the Jaguars in week 7. Also, again, and then the Lions and Chiefs are playing in week 8 in London. They're playing 3 games this year. And, I mean, I just don't really see the point of it.
No, I don't either. And, I mean, the thing is, this is a game – this is, like, a very important game for the Jets to win. Because if the Jets could win this game to move to – doesn't it also screw things up for the teams that's billed as a home game for? Because then aren't they undercut by one home game?
I think it must be labeled as a road game for both.
I know, but then how does that work? Because then you play like
then there's one
road
extra
games than home games.
So
like the Dolphins are listed as the home team. So do Dolphins fans this season, it's like, oh, sorry, guys, you only get 7 home games if you have season tickets.
Yeah, I think I'm looking at it right now. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yeah, that's one of their 8 home games. And honestly, if I was a season ticket holder of the Dolphins, I'd be outraged right now. That's some
exactly
bullshit.
I mean, it's just there's a lot of stuff that goes into this from a fan's perspective. And at the end of the day, the NFL is making an obscene amount of money every year, but it's because the fans love it so much. And this is the kind of thing that's like a fan doesn't want to deal with. I don't want to wake up at 9:30 on a Saturday morning. If you live on the West Coast, you sure as shit don't want to wake up at 6:30. You don't want to have one of your home games. If you're a team trying to win a wild card spot and you didn't get it because you had to play a team on a neutral site in another continent instead of in your own backyard, I'd be pretty fucking pissed.
Yeah, I just don't see what their gain is from doing that. I mean, obviously the NFL's probably pulling in a lot of money. And honestly, it's an away game for the Jets, but there'll probably be more Jets people rooting for the Jets in London just because they're New York's team.
Yeah, I mean, I watched kind of last year. All those games end up being like really sloppy. Who do the fans – do the fans even care, or is it just do they go just for the sake of going? Like, are there any real-deal fans?
I think last year, if I remember correctly, the Lions were playing, and I remember hearing, like, the Lions were being rooted for, and maybe for some reason the Falcons.
It was Lions and Falcons was last year.
Yeah. I think they just honestly just try and pick the winner. Once, like, one team goes up, they're like, oh, okay. Let's start rooting for the team.
So it's more of like it's just more of like an event than anything else for them.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I mean, you know, I don't like it. I'm glad. I would be a lot more upset if this was a Jets home game.
I hate it. I think that maybe these should be preseason, and then if there's enough of a buildup of like fan presence, maybe give them one with like the Raiders and the Browns or some bullshit.
Honestly, it wouldn't be. I mean, obviously the weather sucks, so you couldn't do it. But like, the only thing where this is like a feasible option would be for the Super Bowl for me. Because you give the teams a ton of time to, like, get used to it. People who are wealthy enough to attend the Super Bowl are wealthy enough to attend it in London, generally. Not that you could do it in London in January or February, whenever it was. But, you know, just you need more time than this. And I understand they give you the bye week after. But it's just – it's a big difference when you're on a week-to-week basis like this. It's like the Steelers and Ravens, these short weeks – It affects the team a lot. And a team flying to the West Coast and back, that team is affected. It's twofold when you have to go to London. I don't like it.
You know what else? Honestly, I was thinking maybe they should put the Pro Bowl in London. I mean, obviously, it's such a shit show right now. It's in, like, every year it's played in Hawaii. Like, nobody gives a shit about it. Not just play it in London. Like, all these star athletes are in London. It's good press for...
Yeah, I understand they're trying to expand, like, but are they trying to, I mean, you know, they're trying to put a couple teams in London, I guess, eventually, like, I don't know when, but I don't know, I just don't like it. I'm trying to talk myself into liking it, I don't like it. I don't like, there's not a single thing I like about it.
I fucking hate it.
Yeah. All right, well, no one likes it, except for, I guess, Goodell. And the wealthy people in London that need something to do on a Sunday. Next topic, going into the Bears dumpster fire. They've already offloaded Bostwick and Jared Allen for basically nothing. There's rumors out there that they're trying to dump Forte and Alshon Jeffrey, who are both on the last year of their years of their deals, to try and pick up some more draft picks, trying to really load up on draft picks. So they're basically blowing it up. What are your thoughts on trading Forte and Alshon for them?
Well, I mean, you could keep Alshon with the franchise tag at the end of the year, but I just don't see if it's worth it, really. I mean, he's not going to stay in Chicago if there's no QB. I mean, if Jimmy Clausen is your QB, you're not staying when you're, like, one of the better young wide receivers in the league. Matt Forte, he's a little different. He's coming into the end of his career for a running back. I mean, he's 29 years old. He's had really good seasons the last few seasons, but, I mean, everyone knows the shelf life for a running back is only 4 to 5 years for a great running back. Honestly, I think that they should just try and reset with and go after a quarterback, try and get a good quarterback in the NFL draft, and surefire. Well, what do you think?
No, I couldn't agree with you more. I think their team is really bad. I think they've acknowledged that. Apparently, Jack Del Rio thinks that Cutler's going to play this week. But I've also heard Cutler's on the trade block as well. I don't know, like, you know, sign him up for the Jets, to be honest. I would love him, but we can give him a pick. I don't care. But I think this is their only move, really, because they do have guys that people want. Like, if a team like the Cardinals is willing to trade, you know, a third-round draft pick, second-round draft pick for Forte, a team that's like thinks they're one piece away from a Super Bowl, I think that makes a lot of sense for the Bears. Because what is Matt Forte, you know, getting 100 yards a game going to do for the Bears this season? It's not really going to help them win. Maybe Matt Forte wills them to two wins that they wouldn't have had otherwise. At the end of the day, is that really worth it? I'd rather have a chance to get a top quarterback. Maybe it's Cook out of Michigan State. And then move from there. Load up on draft picks. Get a bunch of young guys. Maybe it takes a couple years, but it's better than clinging to these guys in the last years of their deals and hoping that you gut out 5 wins and screw yourself into, like, the 7 pick instead of the top 3.
Yeah, but another thing is that in the NFL, they seem to not like to do that. They don't like to just can the entire team. to like keep taking up. But I mean, for what they're doing right now, they're not going to win any games like this.
That team, the team's a joke, man. Like they didn't, they punted every single possession they had in Seattle last week, and it was with Claussen. But still, I mean, you know, it was actually a little bit surprising because that game they played against Green Bay, first game of the season, wasn't awful.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't that. It wasn't that bad. But I mean, it's been
worse. Look at Green Bay now, though.
Yeah.
No. Yeah, it's definitely been getting worse. And the Cutler thing was a disaster. I mean, I think they are doing the right thing, but I think you're absolutely right. The NFL season is so short that and so important. Even though it's the shortest of any season, it's only, you know, 16 games. It's by far the most important to most sports fans. So to see your team throw in the towel after week three, it's tough, especially when you know that it's going to be at least 2 or 3 years before you're good again. My other problem with the Bears is I think John Fox is a bad coach.
I don't really know if he – does he do play calling there? I don't think he does, right? He lets his offensive coordinator handle that.
I don't know if he does the play calling.
He's been there for a while, like, right? How
what?
Many years?
John Fox was with Denver. This is his first year with the Bears.
Oh, shit. Of course. I mean, honestly, anybody's open to being traded now, I mean, or being let go. I mean, honestly, after that, I mean, they get let go of Jared Allen on the Panthers now, which I think is a great pickup for them also.
Yeah, I think that's a good pickup for them. Yeah, just John Fox, it's like, you know, he didn't win with Peyton Manning. He's sure as shit not going to win with Cutler.
Yeah.
I understand, like, you want to, like, the guy has been to two Super Bowls with two different teams. He went with the Panthers, and then he went with the Broncos. So from a Bears perspective, it's like, oh, sure, this guy's a good fit. He's been around the league a while, and they just ended that disaster of a situation with Trestman, who they took out of the AFL. He was supposed to have that, like, high-scoring offense and crazy offensive coordinator. He's the offensive coordinator for the Ravens now. So they're like, all right, the players apparently didn't have a lot of respect for him, so they were like, okay, let's bring in John Fox. He'll have the respect of the players. He's been to two Super Bowls with two different teams. He's been around the block. So it made sense. I just don't think he's that good of a coach. So to be honest, I think the Bears are in the worst situation of any franchise in the NFL right now. The only thing they have going for them is it's a big mark.
Yeah. I mean, the Raiders are seemingly turning it around now with their team. I mean, they're getting away from the classic Al Davis just draft speed and getting some solid players. And honestly, the Bears are probably going to have to reset like the Raiders have.
Yep. Yeah. Khalil Mack was a great pick. Derek Carr was a great pick. And they're actually playing each other this week. All right, so yeah. last thing before we move into our picks for the week is this Cam Newton Ed Hockley situation. If you've been watching SportsCenter at all, they've been talking about it. Nothing crazy like Deflategate, but it's been talked about. You know, you would know. Basically, Cam Newton, there was a late shot on Cam, and he was like, you know, he was talking to the ref. He was like, hey, man, what was that? Like, throw a flag. And Hockley essentially said, you're too young to get that call. What's your take?
I mean, Cam Newton is not by any means a rookie or a young guy in the league now. He's been in the league for five years, right? Four years?
Yeah, this is his fifth.
I mean, that's – for a QB, I mean, that's a pretty long time in the league. I mean, he should be respected. And honestly, one of the reasons why I think that Hockley told him that is because of his size. I mean, the guy is enormous. He's 6'5", probably like 240, or something around there. And probably looks like he can take it. I honestly think that just because, like, other quarterbacks like RG3 and, like, other ones like, I mean, obviously, like, Brady, who are, like, protected. But Newton kind of plays like a running back with his style of running. He runs hard. He'll take his punches. And, honestly, I think that grows into his, like, the problem with Ed Hockley that he didn't want to call it because, honestly – Cam Newton could fake running out of bounds and then take one to the house. So, I mean, I don't know if Ed Hockley was right, but I definitely understand where it's coming from, where Cam Newton is not your average quarterback.
See, for me, I understand, like, that point of view. It's like you're too young to get that call. I'm fine with that. The problem is Cam Newton's not young. Like, if it's a rookie, yeah, don't give him a flag. Let him get hit. If it's a second year, all right, still maybe give him a shot. Cam Newton's been in the league for 5 years now. Like you said it. It's like he's not that young a guy. So I think Hockley, he's this big, like, jacked, you know, hardo ref. I think it was, like, his, like, perception of Cam is that he's, like, a young guy because he's, like, outrageously flashy and does all this stuff. I bet Hockley is, like, the complete opposite of Cam Newton, basically. And he's, like, you know, so he's, like, all right, you know, you're not going to get the Brady treatment. And I think he just, like, said, like, you're too young to get that call. But to me, it was more like, not you're too immature to get that call, but it's, like, you got to earn a little, you know, it's, like, I think he was basically saying, like, you're not Tom Brady.
Yeah, I mean, they really only give it to a few QBs in the league, like Peyton, Tom, maybe Rodgers. They get away with a lot of stuff that other QBs don't. And honestly, it's pretty annoying, honestly, when your quarterback doesn't get the same calls as other ones. But
pretty funny these days watching Peyton Manning move around, though. Like, I don't know if he's, like, physically fast enough to get to the sidelines anymore.
You know when he's, like, about and he's, like, running away and he just, like, dives to the ground?
Yeah, it goes fetal position. It's hilarious.
Yeah,
so I think it was more of a thing, like, at the end of the day, I'm not one of these hard-o guys. I'm, like, you know, there are those hard-os that are, like, if it's the call for one person, it should be the call for everyone. There is something to be said for paying your dues. But to say you're too young to get that call when it's your fifth year in the league and you've been very good, it's like, all right, he's not that young anymore, Hockley. Come on.
Yeah.
So
honestly,
I'm kind of on the same page.
Refs like to, like, make the game more about themselves, like bring a little attention to themselves. But he's been denying it recently. I don't even know. Like, right now they're saying he didn't say it. He said it. So
I don't understand that, because I know he's saying he didn't say it, but he definitely did say it, right? Like, Cam, why would Cam just make that up out of nowhere after being in the league five seasons? Like, he definitely said it.
He wouldn't bring it up to the media if not. I mean, it just wouldn't really make sense.
It wouldn't make any sense. He had to have done it. I don't know. Maybe he said something that Cam misconstrued where he was like, not yet, young fella, or something like that, which I guess is the kind of the same thing. But he could have said something like, you know, young fella, and Cam took it like, you're too young to get that call. But I don't think so. I don't think Cam would just make this up. He's never had a problem with any ref before, to my knowledge, about saying something like this. So to me, if I had to put my life on the line, I'd say Hockley did say that.
Yeah, and just doesn't want to take any heat for it, honestly.
If you're him, you have to deny it. Because you're obliged to call the game evenly for every single player.
Yeah, you're supposed to be like the third party, but like now you're just basically saying I'm protecting like Brady and
It's like some guys are gets to some guys different than others, and if you're a referee, that's obviously not allowed. So here, I have all my games circled. The one game that I'm going to avoid is the Saints game, because I still don't know if Drew Brees is playing.
That's a good call.
We won't do that one, but we'll do every other game. So I've got my sheet here. Let's start with the game tonight. Who you got and why?
Okay, I got the Steelers taking it at home. I think they're going to run the ball with Le'Veon Bell pretty heavily. And honestly, I just think that even with the change in quarterback, I mean, obviously Vic is not Ben Roethlisberger by any stretch of the means, but the Baltimore secondary is really, really weak. And honestly, I think Pittsburgh can get within three. And honestly, I think they're going to win this game. What do you think?
I'm on the same side of it. I like the Steelers as well. I'm being a Jets fan and having watched Vic last season, he obviously is very prone to making mistakes, but he's also still pretty good. I'm not expecting them to let him do much, if that makes sense, because they want to avoid those mistakes. But the thing with the Steelers is nothing changes on their defense from the perspective of Big Ben getting hurt, obviously. It doesn't matter for the defense. The other thing is Le'Veon Bell, like you said, is back, and he can shoulder the offensive load. The other thing is you don't need to get Antonio Brown the ball deep downfield. You can get him the ball on short routes, and he can make plays.
Yeah, anywhere on the field. Honestly, just screen passes, maybe like in like hitch route or like an in route, any of those.
Yeah. So Antonio Brown can still make plays. Also, he can make plays as a punt returner to switch the fields and give them good field position. At this point in the season, I just don't think Baltimore is that good. At the end of the day, I just don't think they're that good. And I think Vic is capable as a quarterback. He's obviously not Big Ben. But I think if Big Ben plays, the Steelers are favored by 4.5.
Yeah, so, definitely. Maybe even more.
Yeah, maybe 5. So that's basically, we're saying Roethlisberger's worth 7 points. I don't think he's worth that. Like, I don't think the difference is a touchdown between those guys. So I think Pittsburgh has a good chance to win this game too. So I'm with you. I'll take the points.
Okay.
Jets, Dolphins.
I like the Jets here. But I also really like the under bet in this one. I don't know. You might not be into that. Just because of what we've been talking about, the flight and travel time, I just don't think the offenses are really going to be that stellar. And their defenses are just both pretty solid. The Jets have one of the best defenses in the league. The Dolphins have an upgraded defense that hasn't been performing to their standards. But, I mean, they got blown out by the Bills. But the Jets' offense is definitely not the Bills. So I like the Jets in this one, and I like the under.
Okay. What are you seeing that at? Jets by 1.5?
It's by 1.5, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I got to. I'm also on the Jets. I'm going to avoid the total. You said you like the under. The reason why I like the Jets and I'm a little scared about the total is because I think this game is going to be so sloppy and there's going to be so many turnovers that you could see 3 defensive touchdowns.
Yeah, the picks. Okay. Yeah, I can see that too.
I think you could see Brent Grimes taking Fitzpatrick to the house. You could see Revis taking Tannehill to the house, strip sacks from the Jets. So the reason I like the Jets is because I think it's going to be sloppy, and I think the Jets are going to force a lot of turnovers.
Okay, I get that. But still both on the Jets.
Yep. All right. Let's do your G-men going to Buffalo.
I just have a tough – situation.
It's five and a half.
Giants are pretty big underdogs away at Buffalo. Honestly, as a fan, I might be betting the Giants, but I expect the Buffalo Bills to cover 5.5 pretty easily.
Okay, so you're going with for the sake of comparing records for next week, you're taking the Bills.
I'm going Bills.
Yeah, I respect that because I'll take the Jets just about. When push comes to shove and it's like 12:55, I'm usually like, fuck it, I'm taking the Jets. Because you just don't want to be in one of those situations where your team wins and you lose $100 or $1,000 or $10,000 or $20, whatever you bet.
Whatever you're betting. But I mean, I just I'm gonna probably bet my lowest amount on that game, and I'll put a little bit on the Giants. Just because I like the Giants, but I do think the Bills are going by more than 5.5.
Okay. All right. Panthers, Bucks.
You want to start this one off?
Sure. I like the Panthers. I think that the Panthers are sneaky pretty good. I think the Panthers are pretty good. They haven't really played anyone yet, but I think I think Cam Newton is good. I think his connect, he was cooking up with Greg Olsen last week. I think that's huge for them. I think he's the kind of quarterback that doesn't – I mean, Kelvin Benjamin going out was pretty brutal, and they don't have much of a running game. That being said, Cam Newton can make so many plays longer than they should be. It gives these guy, wide receivers who aren't that good more time to get open. He can pick up first downs with his legs. And the Panthers have a really good defense. I'm not positive if they've announced if Keekly's going to play or not. I think he is. And they just got Allen. I don't expect much from him in his first week there. But Josh Norman is, like, sneaky becoming one of my favorite DBs in the league. So I really think that they give Jameis a hard time. And it's only a field goal. It's a division game, so they know they have to show up. The Bucs looked terrible in their only home game this season. Give me the Panthers, and I'll expect them to win by more than a field goal.
Yeah, I'm also on the Panthers by more than a field goal. I just don't think Jameis is that calm in the pocket. Honestly, the picking up Jared Allen, I could see a couple sacks and maybe even a fumble. I just don't think he's that careful with the ball. I mean, he's a rookie. It's understandable. But I think that Carolina takes this by more than three.
Okay. All right. Next game is Kansas City, Cincinnati. I'll go first again. I'm taking Kansas City plus four. And I think Kansas City has been the victim of a really tough draw the last 2 weeks. They got Denver, who I think has the best defense in the league other than the Jets. Jets have the best. Denver's second best and probably the best, but, you know, I'm biased. So they had to deal with that. And then they had to go into Lambeau on Monday night against Aaron Rodgers at home. I actually still expect them to be a pretty good team. I think their biggest asset on their team is their pass rush, even more so than Jamal Charles. They have a phenomenal pass rush with Houston and Talley. I think they get some pressure on Dalton, who's doing the classic Andy Dalton thing where he looks amazing during the regular season in games that no one's watching. I think they can get some pressure on him, force some interceptions. So if you're going to give me more than a field goal for a game, Kansas City has to win because they still want to win their division. I know they're 1-2, but they do still want to win their division. I think they know they have to win this game. I think they're going to play really hard. They have a hard-nosed defense. They get pressure to Dalton. They cover 4 points, maybe win the game.
I'm against you on this one. I have the Bengals covering here. And one of the reasons why is the Bengals defensive line led by Geno Atkins is so strong. Their defense is pretty solid. And honestly, their offense, I think, just has more options compared to Chiefs. I don't know if Alex Smith is that effective. I mean, their first touchdown they've had to a wide receiver in 18 or 19 games came last week to Jeremy Maclin. But I just don't think that they can move the ball well. On first down, they don't seem to shorten the distance, and that's why they're left with long third down opportunities. I just think the Bengals are going to play well, continue to play well, and move to 4-0.
Hold on. I just realized I didn't say anything on the Bills-Giants game.
Okay, move back.
I didn't, right?
No, you didn't.
Okay. This is actually one of my top plays. I love the Bills. For some reason, the public is loading up on the Giants, which surprises me. I think the Bills are just really good this year. I think they have a great home field advantage. I think Tyrod Taylor is very good, especially against a defense that has looked vulnerable, let's say. And Sammy Watkins isn't going to play, but he hasn't done much this season anyways. But I think the defense forces some turnovers with Eli. Cruz isn't going to play. I think the Bills' defense sets them up in good shape, and T-Mobile finds Charles Clay in the end zone a couple times, and they cover this, I think, pretty easily. I think they win by double digits. This is one I also might tease. I might put in a teaser. I got a big teaser I'm gonna talk about at the end.
I like the Bills on this one too. I mean, I just personally, as a Giants fan, I'll find it difficult to bet on the Bills, but we'll see.
All right, Houston, Atlanta, 6.5. Who you got?
I've got the Falcons in this one. I mean, I just think that Matt Ryan is just a much better quarterback than Ryan Mallett. And then, I mean, Julio Jones is a little tweaked up, I've been reading, but I think he'll definitely play. And I think their team is just a lot of the Houston Texans. I mean, you get the Jesus, slipping my mind. Hard Knocks. Yeah, Hard Knocks. And a lot of people, I think, just like and will like to bet on Houston this year just because of that. And I think it'll adjust the spreads a little bit. And I just think the Falcons have been playing pretty well. They took it to Dallas, the Cowboys. They beat my Giants when they shouldn't have. I think they're a pretty strong team.
I'm on Houston. I think Atlanta, I don't love that Atlanta keeps playing from behind. It's hard to cover spreads. It's hard to cover touchdown spreads at home when you've been trailing in all three games. The other thing for me is I think this Houston team actually isn't that bad. Their only problem is at the quarterback position. Arian Foster may or may not play this week. Don't think that really is going to have much of an impact on the game, because if he does play, I don't think he'll play much. But I like Houston. I think just in general, Atlanta's defense has been very susceptible to the run, even against the Cowboys. The Cowboys got away from the run in the first half. It just seems like to me the Falcons have been let off the hook a couple times. And I like betting against teams that have been let off the hook.
I get that. Okay.
Philly, Washington. This game may or may not be played because of the hurricane.
Yeah, I hope everyone on the East Coast is all good over there. How is it over there, actually, Billingson?
I'm in North Carolina, and it has been raining for 10 days, and it's supposed to rain through Tuesday. So... it's not monsooning or anything, but it's been raining steady. It's going to have rained steady for, 2 weeks.
Yeah. So going back to the Philadelphia and Redskins game, I got the Eagles taking this one. I mean, even DeMarco Murray is questionable. He's the same status as he was last week. But honestly, they've got a carousel back there. Ryan Matthews can play. Darren Sproles can come out of the backfield. Bradford has obviously looked terrible to begin with, but I still think he's better than Kirk Cousins. Washington is notoriously tough to play in, though. I mean, it's one of the loudest stadiums, and they have a great fan base. But I think that the Eagles are going to take this one on the road by more than three.
I got Washington in this one. I don't think the Eagles are any good. It boils down to that for me. I just don't think the Eagles are a good team. I don't think Bradford is any good. DeMarco Murray was a bad fit. Kiko Alonso is not going to play. I don't think Washington's good by any means, but I think they might be better than the Eagles. So if I can catch a field goal with them at home, bring it.
Hopefully Deshaun
Jackson.
Pretty solid.
Yeah. Hopefully Deshaun Jackson plays. Hopefully the game gets played. We'll see. Jacksonville at Indy. I got Indy -9.5. They haven't looked good. I'm looking for a big coming out party for Andrew Luck. I think they've won 14 in a row in this division. The division's so bad. This division's terrible, and he's owned them. This is a team he's seen. He's back in his dome, and he's not going to be getting roughed up by the big, bad New York Jets this time. So I think he's going to be really comfortable, and I think he's the kind of competitor who's going to be – since this season has gone south, I should say, since they lost those first two games, I think he's – didn't happen last week against the Titans, but at the end of the day, this was a team that people were picking to win the Super Bowl. Yeah, they have a bad defense, but they had a bad defense last year. They went to the AFC Championship game. The Jacksonville Jaguars are still really bad. I expect the Colts to really, really run this score up.
I'm leaning the same way. I think that the Colts are going to play really well this week. They haven't been looking that great, but Andrew Luck is still a phenomenal quarterback, and I think he pulls it together this week and not only holds onto the ball but throws a few scores. He's had 6 touchdowns in his past 3 games with no interceptions against the Jags. I mean, the Jags just aren't that strong on the defensive side of the ball. I think the Colts are going to take this pretty handily by 10 or more.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think at the end of the day, I think the Jags are just really – we saw it against the Pats last week. I just think they're the same old Jags. I don't buy Bortles, you know. And
when they get in situations where they have to throw the ball, it's just going to provide more opportunities for Luck to score.
Yeah,
I think,
exactly. But. And the other thing is just Luck's domination of that division, both – straight up and against the spread. So I love Indy. Raiders, Bears, who you got?
I've actually, this is the one of the first times I've ever gone with the Raiders over a reasonable squad. Usually I'm a big proponent of going against the Raiders. They're playing pretty well this year. I mean, we talked about it earlier. The Bears are in no man's land right now. They have no idea what's going on. I mean, if Clawson starts, they scored 0 points against Seattle. I mean, their defense is amazing, and their home field advantage is unlike anything else. But I think that the Raiders are going to keep it going and get to 3-1 by more than 3 also.
Okay. All right. I'm actually on the other side of that one. I like the Bears. I think Cutler's going to play. I think that they're not as bad. I mean, they're obviously – they are pretty bad, but I think they're getting thrown under the bus a little bit early when Cutler and Forte both play. He got taken out of the game.
I thought he was day-to-day.
He is day-to-day, but Del Rio thinks he's going to play. So if the Raiders coach is pretty sure he's going to play, I'm okay thinking he's going to play. I'm just not at the point in my gambling life where I'm going to take the Raiders as a road favorite.
That is true. Yeah, this is the first time I've ever taken the Raiders, basically, in any situation.
Yeah, so if I can get points with the home playing the Raiders, bring it. I'm taking the Bears. That being said, if Clawson plays, it wouldn't surprise me. Because I do think Oakland's a bad team, so it wouldn't shock me if Clawson, if Cutler plays, I would be surprised if the Raiders blew him out, because I think the Bears could actually win this game. And I kind of like what I was saying with Washington and Pittsburgh. If I can get a team at home I think can win as an underdog, then those are kind of the bets I like to jump on. So I'm on the Bears. Next game is Browns going to San Diego. In this one, I love San Diego. They're favored by 7.5. I love taking teams in these games where one of the teams has to travel coast to coast. So in this case, Cleveland obviously has to fly out to California. I think everyone's kind of writing off the Chargers because they've had a couple bad weeks. I think Phillip Rivers is still good, and I think they have a lot of weapons. And I think this circus that's going on in Cleveland is a bad situation. I think they should be starting Manziel. I don't know why they're not. I think for everything in general, it kind of all just adds up to San Diego cruising in this one by more than a touchdown.
They haven't been playing that great, but if you look back in recent history for Rivers and his team, they tend to start picking it up around week 4. They usually start off a little bit slow and they start picking it up. I think they're a solid team, and I think they're going to handle the Cleveland Browns, who just don't really have an identity. They don't really have a quarterback set yet. I mean, they're kind of like the Jets when people were calling for Tebow, chanting for Manziel and things like that. So I just don't ever think that's a good situation.
Yep, okay. Green Bay going into San Francisco. I like San Francisco in this one, getting almost 10 points. I bet by kickoff it will be 10 because everyone loves betting on the Packers.
I've got 8 Packers right now, but I'm sure it'll move up.
You have 8?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Maybe I saw it earlier and maybe it's going down. I'd be surprised if it ended up anywhere less than 8.5. I love San Francisco. Green Bay's coming off back-to-back primetime games. They're going to the West Coast. San Francisco, it might be a game they, you know, look past a little bit. They've had these, you know, high-profile games against these good teams. San Francisco basically is fighting for their lives. If they lose this week, their season's probably over. I don't think they're as bad as everyone makes them out to be if Carlos Hyde can run the ball and Kaepernick can keep from turning it over. But the main thing for me is Green Bay coming off back-to-back, really important games for them. I think this is one they look past a little bit. They got to fly to San Francisco. I think it's the kind of game that the 49ers don't win, but, you know, it's one of those games where Rodgers puts together a game-winning drive.
Okay. I actually have Green Bay in this one. I know 8 points is a pretty big spread, but one of San Francisco's strengths are that they are a great running team. They have Carlos Hyde and they have Colin Kaepernick, who's a strong runner. And when they get down in games, I just can't really see them. They can't run the ball because they have to score points. And I just think Green Bay is going to get up early and San Francisco is going to have to throw the ball. And that's just going to get them even more trouble and contribute to a double-digit win for Green Bay.
Yeah, I mean, there's certainly – no one can call anyone out for taking the Packers. They're 3-0 against the spread, and they show no signs of slowing down from anything I've seen. It'll be interesting to see if the Niners bring back the read option that gave the Packers so much trouble a couple of years ago, because they could not stop Kaepernick in the read option 2 years ago. I'm interested to see if they bring that back.
If it starts with a 10, I might stay away from it, but I actually just got in on it at 8, so it's kind of – I like it at 8.
Okay. St. Louis, Arizona, who you got?
I got the Arizona Cardinals. Honestly, Carson Palmer's been throwing it, spinning it great. The running game, I mean, Chris Johnson played – great last week, and they've got Andre Ellington coming back off of injury. But honestly, their strength in their game is just solid defense and a good quarterback in Carson Palmer, who's had kind of a resurgence in recent years. And I think that they're going to cover the 7 over St. Louis, who is a good squad, though.
I'm with you on the fact that I'm on Arizona. I'm not with you on the fact that St. Louis is a good squad. I think people got duped into thinking they were a good squad because they beat the Seahawks in the first game of the season. They lost to the Redskins. They lost in a stinker to the Steelers. I've been on the Cardinals since before the season started. When they have a quarterback, they basically haven't lost this season and then all of last season. There were something – I can't remember the exact number. I think they were 8-1 last year with the combination of Carson Palmer and Drew Stanton. So they don't need much at quarterback. When they have a good one, they're a very good team. The thing for me is another part of the reason I like this game is because I don't think Foles is really any good. So I expect him to get picked off. Cardinals D scores points at the end of the day. And that's the best way to cover a spread that's maybe a little high. Because if it's, you know, it can go from a 7-point game Rams ball to a 10-point Cardinal lead fast.
Yeah.
I don't think Foles is that. I don't think Foles is that good.
The honey badge back there, rolling.
Yeah. So I'm with you. I'm with you on the Cardinals. I wanted to take them before the season started to win the Super Bowl, and I was like, no. I'll wait. Now they're like the 4th best odds in the whole damn thing. So missed the boat there, but kind of feeling sorry for myself on that front, but. It is what it is. Next game, Vikings, Broncos. I'm on the Vikings plus 6.5. I think that Denver's 3-0 against the spread, and they probably shouldn't have covered any of them. I mean, maybe the Lions, but that was a much closer game than the score entailed. Definitely not the Chiefs. That took a miraculous comeback. The Ravens, they had a pick six against the Ravens to cover. So I think this is a kind of a team for me like the Falcons, who have been begging to not cover spreads and have. So I think this is the week, the first week they don't. I know they have an amazing defense and they force turnovers, but if the Vikings do what they should do and get Peterson the ball, it's hard to force turnovers when a team keeps it on the ground. If Bridgewater can keep it out of the hands of the Broncos DBs, I think they have a real chance to win this game. Obviously, I wouldn't take it money line because I don't think they will, but I think it's a situation where they could win if they played really well. So especially if this thing moves up to 7, I don't think it will, but I like them catching 6.5 points.
I'm leaning definitely the same way. They're getting 7 points for me right now, and that's perfect for me. I'm going to take the Vikings over the Broncos. The 3-0 spread that Denver has against the spread, I think that the correction by the odds makers is going to happen this week, and the Vikings are going to cover it. Peterson's going to have a great game, and Bridgewater's just going to manage the game, hopefully, and not have more than one turnover.
Yeah. I think it definitely rattled me. I watched that first game of the season, and
which one?
The Vikings-Niners game. It was like the worst football game I've ever seen. I was like, yeah. When I watched that, I was like, I lost money betting against the Vikings the last 2 weeks because I thought they sucked. I don't think they do. I think they're actually pretty good. I think that game, it's like first game of the season, they make a team in the central time zone go play on the Pacific time zone. It's like 10 o'clock on the what they're used to. They come out really slow. So I'm now done thinking the Vikings are garbage, but I got duped for the past 2 weeks from that week one stinker.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so I love the Vikings. Next game, next and final game, I guess, since we're not going to do the Saints, Cowboys. I think either way, whether Breeze plays or doesn't play, I think I'm going to take the Cowboys. I think the Saints are just terrible.
I'm just going to avoid it. If Breeze plays, if I find out beforehand, I'm going to take the Saints. But if not, I'm going to probably not bet on it in any situation.
Yeah. Okay. So the Monday night game is Detroit going to Seattle. 10.5-point spread. Who do you like?
I have Seattle at 9.5 on my website.
Oh, you do?
Right now.
Okay.
I do, yeah. And I like it because it's under 10. I think that they'll win by 10, maybe even a little bit more. One of the toughest places to play in the NFL on the road. And it just seems like they know how to handle themselves at home. They're just so solid at home. I mean, they just put on a whooping on the Bears last week. It's not going to be as bad because the Lions aren't as bad as the Bears. But I definitely think they're going to cover the 9.5.
Okay. I'm on the Lions in this one. The difference between 10.5 and 9.5 is obviously huge. But I think I'll probably still – first of all, what I'll expect this line to do is I'll expect it, if it's at 9.5, to make its way back up to 10 because I don't see anybody taking Detroit when they're going to Seattle. The main thing for me here is the Seahawks seem like a team that has a lot of off-the-field stuff going on. They beat up Jimmy Clausen. I'm not going to read too much into that. They have Chancellor pulling out. Jimmy Graham wants more touches. Marshawn wants more touches. The teammates seem to, like, get mad at each other. You got Russell Wilson with this whole Ciara situation. Seems like there's a lot of stuff going on in Seattle, and it just makes it hard for me to give up 10 points on a primetime game, especially for a Detroit team that's in desperate need of a win.
Also got Marshawn Lynch's mom telling the Seattle.
To fire the O coordinator.
Yeah. that's crazy.
Yeah. All right. So that's the show. We can both run through our picks one more time, and then we'll do our top play of the weekend. Oh yeah. This, the teaser I wanted to talk about. I'm going to tease the Falcons down to a pick. I'm going to tease the Colts down to a field goal favorite. And I'm going to tease the Cardinals down to like a 1-point favorite. And I'm going to tease those three teams.
How much are you throwing on that? Like 100 to 100 or something like that?
I'm not sure. I haven't looked at what the odds look like yet. I haven't actually made any plays yet. I'm going to wait till kickoff. But all right, so I'll run through my plays really quick, and then Nick can do his. Or you know what the better way to do this is? I'll just read out both and say if we're on the same side or not. All right, so we're both on Pittsburgh plus 2.5. I think I saw 3. Did you get it? Can you get it at 3?
Yeah, I got it at 3. That's why I definitely hopping on that.
Okay, all right, yeah. We're both on Pittsburgh at 3. We're both on the Jets minus 1.5. We're both on the Bills minus 5.5. We're both on the Panthers minus 3. I am on the Chiefs plus 4. The horse is on Cincy, the Bengals minus 4. I'm on Houston plus 6.5. The horse is on Atlanta Falcons minus 6.5. The horse is on the Eagles minus 3. I'm on the Redskins plus 3. We're both on Indy minus 9.5. The horse is on Oakland minus 3. I'm on the Bears plus 3. We're both on the Chargers minus 7.5. The horse is on the Packers minus 9. I'm on the 49. Or he said he got it at 8. So
yeah.
He's on the Packers minus 8. I'm on the 49ers plus 9, hopefully. We're both on the Cardinals minus 7. We're both on the Vikings plus 6.5. And I am on the Lions, hopefully around 10. And the horse is on Seattle. He's hoping under 10. Top play of the week for me. It's going to sound a little weird. My top play is actually the 49ers this week. 49ers and the Bills are my two top plays.
Top play of the week for me is going to be the Steelers tonight. Even with their QB controversy, I just don't think the Ravens are any good. And I also think the Cardinals.
Steelers and Cardinals. All right, I got that written down. So a new thing we're going to try and do, basically. A couple of the good shows I've listened to usually have some cool intro music. So basically the way this is going to work is we're going to try and get the show out a little sooner than Thursday just because it's tough to make picks if you have to listen to the podcast live. So we're going to try to do these, if it works for the horse, we're going to try and do the NFL one earlier in the week, maybe Tuesday when the spreads are still really fresh. Because usually they don't move that much in the NFL. But either way, whichever one of either me or the horse, whoever has a better record betting the board on the NFL Sunday is going to pick the intro music for the next episode. And let's just say we're going to try and do those every Tuesday around this time.
Sounds good. That was a great show.
All right. Yep.
Let's see what happens. You'll keep a tab on who's winning over the season, right?
Yeah. I'm gonna keep throwing tally. We're not gonna mention anything from last week because it was a bit of a disaster. But I think the public did pretty well, so I don't think we really screwed anyone over. But the week before that, we were lights out. So hopefully, we get back to our winning ways, and we will have to pay the piper because I will be reading out both of our records against the spread at the start of every episode.
Yes, sir.
All right. Thanks for listening.